This is All Sides Weekend, and I'm Amy Jurevich. If you enjoy remakes, sequels, and superheroes, this summer movie season is for you. Out in theaters now, we have Cars 2, Green Lantern, a new installment of X-Men, The Hangover Part 2, and much more. But if you have $8 or $9 to spend on a movie, which one should you pick, and which one should you wait until they come out on DVD? Today on All Sides Weekend, we are deconstructing the summer movie season. And joining me in the studio is Brad Keefe. He's the web producer and film critic for Columbus Alive. Welcome.
Thank you, Amy.
And also Hope Madden, the film critic for The Other Paper. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
And let's start with a movie that is brand new, opens today. You can't watch TV without seeing a commercial for this movie. It's Bad Teacher. And in this scene, Elizabeth, who's played by Cameron Diaz, flirts with Justin Timberlake's character.
A bunch of us are going out tonight to see Period 5 play. Do you want to come?
Period 5?
Yeah, the teacher band.
I rather get shot in the face.
Hey!
Hey!
So, are you guys coming to the palace tonight? My band's gonna do a few songs.
You're in Period 5!
You're looking at the new rhythm guitarist and backup vocalist. Should be fun.
Should be amazing. Lynn, you wanna come?
Yes.
So, this movie, it has a great, interesting cast. It looks funny. What do you think, Brad?
I actually had maybe not high hopes, but expectations that it could be a lot of fun and a good, you know, raunchy is in for comedy, you know, for the last few years. I was a little disappointed in it.
Really?
Yeah. It kind of mines that, like, Bad Santa, bad behavior. I mean, even, you know, it evokes it with the name, and it just doesn't go far enough with it. I wanted it to be more tasteless.
So Cameron Diaz, but it's Cameron Diaz. I don't know that she would be tasteless.
She's
the most tasteless there. She pulls the fewest punches,
yeah,
I think,
you know, she's trying to be a departure from her sort of, her career trajectory is kind of on the decline in recent years.
It is.
And she's kind of playing against the, you know, her nice girl roles in the past.
You know, but I think that she's proven several times throughout her career that she'll take risks. I mean, that scene from Something About Mary, that was pretty self-effacing. That was kind of funny. She's willing to do that, and she does it here. I just don't think that Jake Kasdan, the director, was ready to go all the way. He wasn't ready to Bad Santa. And it wasn't charming enough to be School of Rock. I think both of us compared it to those two films. Like those... It flirted with both and just couldn't decide where it was going to go. And so it really – I don't think it's going to please that many audiences because it is too raunchy for a School of Rock crowd, definitely. But it's not nearly funny enough to be a Bridesmaids or a Bad Santa or a, you know, Hangover.
And the director, Jake Kasdan, he's done funny before. Mm-hmm. I mean, his first movie was
Orange County,
which I think is really underrated. Walk Hard, the Dewey Cox story, came out like at the wrong time of year, and kind of nobody saw it, but it's really funny. Go find it on video. The talent was there. I know Justin Timberlake is hilarious as a host on SNL, and he was kind of one note and not as funny as expected.
Yeah, Jason Segel wasn't given much to do. He was, you know, he kind of phoned it in. He's funny. He just is funny, but he does, you know. They
One of you two, or I read somewhere that Jason Segel could have been used more, and it might have been even funnier.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, he's... He's really likable. He's really funny. I mean, he kind of, you know, he's the same character every time. His How I Met Your Mother character is really similar to his Forgetting Sarah Marshall character. But he's also, you know, the most talented, the most naturally funny person in the cast.
Yeah, I
and
think so,
he's
too.
Underused.
Except for Higgins, the principal, who's very funny no matter what.
So would you... maybe recommend this, but you would caution, or would you say, there's other things out there, don't
you know,
see
the
this.
People who see the previews and think it looks really good, I think they may get enough laughs out of it.
Yeah, I mean, I did laugh. I laughed frequently in the film. I had actually much lower expectations than Brad did. When a movie changes its ad campaign dramatically just before it opens, as this one did, all of a sudden there were no Cameron Diaz in the ads. All of a sudden it was just the one scene of Jason Segel yelling about LeBron James,
yeah.
And I thought...
That is true,
you're right.
Yeah,
that's usually a terrible sign.
When a side character yelling at a kid is the funny part.
Yeah, okay. Well, when they just changed the entire ad campaign to sort of suggest that this is the main, like, I think the ad campaign suggested, no, this is our bad teacher. The guy you know, the funny guy, Jason Segel, that's your bad teacher, and he yells at kids about basketball players. And I thought, oh, no, it's going to be awful. So it was better than I thought, but it, you know, and it does have some funny moments, but it's still, in not really deciding which way it's going to be, it will offend certain people. A friend of mine who went with it, he thought maybe they went too far in a couple scenes, but most people are going to be underwhelmed, I think.
Will teachers like it?
No?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it doesn't have that, like,
no.
You'll recognize this. I mean, the one thing that it is fun that it plays on is she's a lazy teacher, as evidenced by she pretty much shows a movie in class every day.
A movie about teachers, yes. Like Stand and Deliver and Lean
On Me. Oh, great.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, great. But,
go see Bridesmaids again. It's
yeah,
way funnier.
Absolutely.
Way funnier.
Yep.
This is All Signs Weekend, and I'm Amy Jurevich. Which summer movies have been your favorite, and which ones make you want your money back? 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. You can also visit the All Sides Facebook page and leave a comment there. 614-292-8513. In the studio with me, Brad Keefe with Columbus Alive and Hope Madden with the other paper. Another movie opening this weekend, brand new, another sequel, because we haven't had enough sequels this summer, Cars 2. In this scene, Lightning McQueen and Mater, they run into Francesco.
Excuse me, can I get a picture with you?
Anything for a McQueen's friend.
Miss Sally is going to flip when she sees this. Oh, she's Lightning McQueen's girlfriend.
Ooh.
She's a big fan of yours.
Hey, she has a good taste. Well,
Mater's prone to exaggeration. I wouldn't say she's a big fan.
You're right. She's a huge fan. She goes on and on about your open wheels here.
So one of you wrote that this movie is for kids and for adults who like the specific comedy stylings of Larry the Cable Guy. Was that one of you, or did I read that somewhere else?
That might have been George.
Okay.
Actually, George Wolf from the other paper covered this, but
okay.
I saw it as well, and yeah, it's. I think it would appeal to people who are fans of Larry the Cable Guy. Weirdly, you know, in the first film, Lightning McQueen, the Owen Wilson character, was the main character, and Toe Mater, the tow truck voiced by Larry the Cable Guy, was like a sidekick. And he becomes the focus of this film, which is to its detriment. It's basically kind of Larry the Cable Guy saves the world is sort of what this movie is, which is... I don't think anything anybody really wants to see.
Yeah, well, I mean, with the expectation with Pixar, they've made just some of the, I mean, animated or otherwise, they've made some of the best movies of the
Absolutely.
Last 20 years.
Oh, my God, yeah.
So, you know, every time there's a new Pixar movie, it's a big deal.
Right.
This is a sequel to what I think was their weakest effort before, and it's worse than the original. You know, it focuses on the wrong character. It's for a Pixar movie.
You don't think
movie,
Mater's fun?
It didn't.
No?
Well,
okay,
I mean,
no.
If you, the thing about it is Pixar movies have this, they're always so kind of timeless. You know, they have this feeling that like, you know, like the old Disney movies of the 40s and 50s, that they're going to go in the vault and people are going to watch them for decades. And the Cars movie, they feel so dated, you know?
They do. And I just think that they're flawed from the start in that there's never a very clearly defined villain. And George said this in the review as well, that, you know, the best of the Pixar films is like there's this little magic happening inside our own world, which I think is engaging to children. Like, you don't know it, but your toys are alive. And, you know, you don't know it, mm-hmm. but there's this robot and he's going to save the world. And, you know, it's like there's the human element in all of these movies. And this fish is on an adventure, but there's a kid who's going to steal your dad fish or whatever. I mean, there's a human element that I think makes it easier for makes it more compelling, makes the story more compelling. And Cars doesn't have that. It's in a human free universe. It's just cars looking at cars doing car things. And I mean, and I think the stories tend to be a little bit weak. I just don't think that either film really, like you're saying, stands up to the Pixar canon.
I know a certain 2.5-year-old who would disagree with you about the Cars movie, though. He would adamantly disagree.
Well, yeah, sometimes it feels like an hour and a half commercial for toys.
Yeah.
You know, it's merchandise. And you know, maybe the standards are too high when you think, but it didn't have, you know, the end of Toy Story 3 or the opening scene of Up.
Right, exactly.
These movies can, like, make you get so emotional and choked up. There's no connection to this movie.
Yeah, I think it just really does suffer by comparison.
Now, in defense of Cars 2, I heard a review this morning on Morning Edition, and the critic, he loved it. So, it's just what, you know?
You know, honestly, when we go to these screenings, they're usually full of kids. To me, I didn't think even the kids were that. Didn't kind of hear that buzz that you sometimes do.
Yeah, okay. I agree.
In a really great kids movie.
I agree.
Movie.
The one of the ones, Tangled, which I don't think really did particularly well. It was a Disney film. It was the Rapunzel story. And kids were falling out of their chairs.
Yeah.
And Toy Story as well. I mean, the kids were so enthralled by it. And the adults, too. And I agree. I didn't. I try to use that at vibe in a review. Like, if I don't really like it, but it's clear to me all of the kids in the audience just love it, that I, you know, you got to go a little easy on it, or at least point that out. You know, your kids are going to love it, although you might be bored. But I really didn't get that in this.
Okay. So maybe a no to Bad Teacher, maybe a no to Cars 2. But
say definitely a no to Cars 2.
Definitely no. Sorry. Okay. I will. But we have someone on the line, John from Grandview, who has a movie that I think that you're going to like. John, what's your comment? John, are you there? Here, hold on 1 second. We will get John on the air in just a minute. John, hold for a second. He wants to talk about The Tree of Life. Can you tell me a little bit about The Tree of Life?
Well, it's a new film from Terrence Malick, who's, you know, kind of an important director. He doesn't, you know, he's done, what, 5 movies over a 3-decade career?
Right.
Badlands. I know the Wexner Center just showed a couple of his films. But not, like, hugely commercially successful.
No, not at all.
This one is probably getting attention with Brad Pitt cast in the lead.
Sean Penn, although he's got a very small role.
I mean, what's it about? It's about life. It's a huge movie. It's a heady movie. People are going to love it or hate it. Yeah. You know, it's essentially centered on this 50s Texas family. Brad Pitt's the father. He's kind of a loving but overbearing father, and a lot of this is kind of through the eyes of the children as it plays out against evolution, essentially.
Yeah,
it's a huge, complicated movie.
Well, then let's get John on the line. I think we have John now. John, are you there?
I'm there. Can you hear me?
Yes, now we're good.
Okay.
So what do you think of it?
Well, I hated it.
Oh,
I have 2 movies, real quick, but I just want to set it up and say that I realize critics see many more things than the average person, and so they're looking for unusual things. And maybe a couple of the decent reviews I saw for this movie, which led me to see it, were because they were looking for something unusual. But I saw, not quite back-to-back, but a couple of days apart, Midnight in Paris by Woody Allen, which I think is a splendid Woody Allen movie, and I would recommend it and have recommended it to many people for a variety of reasons. And then I went to see The Tree of Life. I think it's Terrence Malick.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Is that his name? Mm-hmm. I thought it was 2 hours of mind-numbing boredom. I thought it was pretentious. I thought it was tedious. And unless you're stoned, the whole first third of the movie is like the creation of life in these lovely colors, but it's not telling me a story that I wanted to hear, or at least I just felt that Terrence Malick and I simply didn't connect.
Okay.
I think it's
thank you very much, John.
It seemed to me a very clearly personal film, and Terrence Malick grew up in Texas in the 50s, and it seems to me that he's exploring his own existence and his own sort of place in the world as a response to his parenting. But at the same time, because his parents were so very different, one took the path of grace and one took the path of nature, and it led him to sort of just examine the natural world and grace and nature in the natural world. And it's a big film, you know. I mean, exploring your own sort of place in existence, that's a big enough concept. But then to go one larger, just like put that in context of basically the entirety of everything, it was big. And I thought it was – well, one of the things you can always rely on with Terrence Malick is that it will be visually stunning. It was a gloriously beautiful movie to look at, and the performances were really excellent. And it's not going to appeal to a lot of people.
Yeah, I think John like really proves my point. I opened my review with it saying movies like The Tree of Life are the reason people hate movie critics.
Right.
it's a heady art. You know, it's love it or hate it. It's completely love it or hate it. And he's right. We watch a lot of movies, and it's a nice change of pace, and it's really ambitious. I don't know if it's entertaining.
Right.
And
I think you should.
And, you know, he mentioned a great fun movie Midnight in Paris, mm-hmm. which is probably my biggest recommendation of what's out there right now.
Okay. Well, we can talk more about Midnight in Paris after we take a break. This is All Sides Weekend, and we're looking at movies out in theaters now, and we'll also look ahead to July. This is All Sides Weekend on 89.7 NPR News.
And good morning. This is 89.7 NPR News. It's 21 minutes after 11 o'clock. A chance of showers for today with a high of only 74. For tonight, a slight chance of rain before midnight with a low of 59. Right now, 67 degrees under cloudy skies.
On Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, we ask famous people questions they weren't expecting. For example, we asked famous Southern chef Paula Deen what was in her refrigerator.
Oh, my gosh, so much chicken and lasagna and lots of sour cream and butter. And, there's a bowl of food.
How'd that get there?
I don't know.
That's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the delicious news quiz with absolutely no nutritional value from NPR.
Saturdays at 11 here on 89.7 NPR News.
Support for 89.7 comes from Promo West Productions, presenting The Monkees on Friday, June 24th at 6:30 p.m. at the LC Lifestyle Communities Pavilion Outdoor Amphitheater. Information at promowestlive.com.
And this is All Sides Weekend, and we're talking about the summer movie season. I'm Amy Jurovich. With me in the studio, the other paper film critic, Hope Madden, and also Columbus Alive film critic, Brad Keefe. And you can join us, 614-292-8513, or send us an email at allsides@wosu.org. And we were mentioning the movie Midnight in Paris right before we took the break, and we have Dick from Westerville. Dick, what's your comment?
We went to see movies, Midnight in Paris, based upon a recommendation that it wasn't your usual Woody Allen movie, which we don't particularly like. This was bodacious. It's rich in color. It's an interesting story about relationships within a family and how things sort out. It was sufficiently good that my wife went out and bought a copy of the biography of Hemingway's first wife, which goes to the same period.
All right. So... Dick says bodacious. That's a word I haven't heard in a while. So, Brad, what did you think of the movie?
I thought it's Woody Allen's funniest movie.
Hold on 1 second here, Brad. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's Woody Allen's funniest movie in at least a decade, maybe two. It's kind of a return to sort of whimsical, almost silly for him. It's, you know, it's a really smart movie, but the gags are, you know, they're gags playing off of, you know, Hemingway and Picasso and your knowledge of them. But it's kind of a, you know, I described it as a sort of lowbrow comedy for highbrow people.
Yeah, I think that fits it. It's, you know, it's just delightful is what it is. It's so much fun. And Owen Wilson does a great job in basically the Woody Allen role. He gives it. He's just as neurotic as any Woody Allen type character, but he gives it like a low-key California feel about it. But boy, Ernest Hemingway in particular was just outstanding. Everything he said was hilarious, and I don't think you need to know all of the, you know, all of the folks that you're seeing on screen to appreciate it. But it is funny because it's a nice mix of he expects that you do. Woody Allen expects that you understand what's going on right now, and at the same time, he's being very, very silly about it. It's a fun film.
Okay, so after a few definite no's of movies, we have a good recommendation. Midnight in Paris. Yay. And then perhaps another one. We have an email from David. My 11-year-old son and I really like Super 8. It has the feel of E.T. for this generation. Granted, it is E.T. on steroids, but it has some touching and funny parts along with all the action. What do we think of Super 8?
But see, I love that he said he and his son loved it because it's clearly a throwback movie. J.J. Abrams, you know, is kind of a – he's sort of the generation raised on Spielberg, and Steven Spielberg's the executive producer of it. It feels a lot like E.T., Stand By Me, The Goonies is a good comparison. And I know a lot of people, you know, kind of my age who grew up on those films feel it sort of hits those same notes.
Yeah.
And, you know, and there's been a void in that kind of movie.
It's true. I mean, for one thing, it's a you know, it's a big summer blockbuster that's character driven.
Oh,
what?
Very. Yes.
I'm sorry. And the kids can act. You know, dear Twilight, please pay attention. It's.
But these aren't. There's not like really that many famous people in this movie.
Oh no, not at all. No. You know, Elle Fanning. Does that count?
Yeah.
You know, it's very much focused on the kids and their adventure in the way that, you know, the way that E.T. was. It's kind of. I thought it was it's like very E.T. With the little Jaws.
Yeah.
Well, it, what it is I called it a mash note to Steven Spielberg. And it's just so, again, I think we're close to the same age. And, you know, those are the Hollywood event summer movies from, you know, the late 70s and early 80s, which I think you see carbon copies of today. But you don't see the real thing anymore. And that's what this feels like. It feels like the real thing, you know. It was so fun.
Oh, yeah. And it builds on a mystery that it's so refreshing that isn't revealed in the trailers anymore.
I know.
that, you know, it builds on it most of the movie, and you're kind of seeing things in glimpses.
Yeah. It's not...
Like Jaws or E.T. Mm-hmm.
It's not all... I mean, bad things happen, which is, you know, so often I think that any more films that are catered to a family audience are so sugar-coated and so... But bad things happen in this movie. It turns out well, but, you know, there's a darkness about it as well. And it's really, really well acted, and it's just like a textbook version of storytelling. It's really well done.
And you mentioned there aren't a lot of name actors in that sometimes can work for a movie. Mm-hmm. You're not lost in, oh, there's that star on the screen, and what are they doing, and, you know, what have I seen them in before?
Why isn't that star on the screen right now? Yeah. Why am I watching these people?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, and so that's Super 8, which obviously has made a lot of money at the box office. There's a movie that surpassed it, though, last weekend, The Green Lantern. In this scene from The Green Lantern, Hal Jordan, who is played by Ryan Reynolds, attempts to speak the oath in order to gain his powers.
Okay, all right. Place the ring and speak the oath. The oath. Because everybody knows the oath. I, Hal Jordan, do solemnly swear to pledge allegiance to a lantern that I got from a dying purple alien.
All right, so Green Lantern. Hope, let me guess, you loved this movie, right?
Yeah, I was. I had low expectations, and I was blown away by how much worse the film was than what I expected it to be. I was awestruck by the awfulness of this movie.
That was a great clip that you played, because it's one of like two moments.
The only, yeah.
where Ryan Reynolds, he's a funny guy. You know, say what you will about them, but the Van Wilder movies, you know, he came up in.
He can be funny, yeah.
He can be funny. I know from the women at my office that part of the reason he was cast
is... He's not bad looking.
People like Ryan.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, just a little bit.
Just a little bit,
but,
okay.
You know, that kind of offhanded remark about I got this ring from a purple alien. The rest of the movie is setting up purple aliens and intergalactic warfare, and it reminded me of Last Airbender. It's just okay. Characters explaining these big, intricate.
And I wasn't sure what was worse, the part that was the bad, melodramatic, horribly written Top Gun ripoff that was on Earth?
Oh, yes, that's right.
Or
he's
the part
a test
that
pilot.
Was the god-awful Star Wars Episode 1 ripoff that was on planet green and blue with yellow thrown in. It was just horrible.
Take your pick. Yeah, the action was nothing spectacular. The 3D was nothing worth seeing.
All right, so if we're going to go see an action movie, we'll definitely go see Super 8 and not Green Lantern.
No.
You should go see Super 8 twice,
Super 8,
maybe.
Which wasn't in 3D, which is also great.
I know.
That's also refreshing.
It was.
And that movie wouldn't have worked in 3D anyhow.
Well, no, because it was a throwback. It wouldn't have made any sense.
All right, and we're going to bring up Super 8 one more time, because we have a message from Sandy on Facebook, and she wanted to know... Well, first of all, let's hear a clip from Super 8, because we have Jackson. This is who's played by Kyle Chandler, who's one of the only recognizable people in the movie to me. Finds out that the kids are being questioned by the military.
Look, dispatch just got a call on Citizens Band. Joe and some of his friends, they were grabbed by military personnel at the middle school. Preston, you tell me everything, and I won't throw you in jail.
Yes, sir. But I think you should look at this first.
Oh, so Preston is handing him some film that Jackson needs to watch. And, you know, it just leads me to the question from Sandy on Facebook. She asked, how young is too young for this movie? Because she has an 8-year-old son that she wants to take to the movie. But is it too scary? Is there like a level for how young is too
there
young?
There's a level of scariness.
There
If your child is prone to nightmares, there's probably some stuff in there.
So 8 years old would probably be like maybe right on the line of, I don't know.
It's depends borderline. On the, but, you know, there are moments in E.T. that are probably scary when you're a kid. And sometimes you can have those thrills.
This is scarier than E.T.
Well, it's a little scarier than E.T. It's a little more dark than E.T. But
well, he eats a leg.
You
see him eat a leg. So that's your gauge, I think. You
but
see him eat a leg.
I don't
and
remember
if that's something
E.T.
your 8-year-old shouldn't see, then probably not.
Jurassic
I mean, there's,
Park? Is that ballpark?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's Jurassic. I would say it's not nearly as scary as Jurassic Park. So it would be somewhere in between. But yeah, if you think that your son could watch Jurassic Park, then definitely yes.
Okay, so a little caution to Sandy with the 8-year-old. Just maybe decide for your own family.
That's right on the border. Mm-hmm. I think a 10 or 11-year-old, like our first caller, would love it.
I think you're right. It's got to be, you know, it really depends on how kind of sensitive the child is and prone to nightmares the child is.
I was reading in USA Today that this spring was one of the worst in the history of the movie industry, but attendance is beginning to rebound. Are movies getting better as summer continues here, or are people just really wanting to go to the movies and they're desperate to just go see a movie for a little fun?
Well, it's always still marketing. It's always, you know, we still all flock to what's the big movie that we're supposed to see this weekend. Last weekend, it was Green Lantern. It made money. It wasn't good. This weekend, it's Cars. It's going to make even more money. It's not that good.
Next weekend, it'll be the Transformers. I think history's proven that's not likely to be very good, but it'll make a bucket loads of money. And yeah, I think you're right. I mean, people always go in the summer anyway. I mean, it's just when you go, and that's when the giant blockbusters come out. I don't think that the films we've seen this calendar year have been as strong as last year, but most of the ones that were really great last year didn't make that much money either.
And let's be honest, you know, when summer heat waves hit, people love to go to the theaters because the AC is cranked
that's
up.
True. Right. That's true.
It's 2 hours of relief from the heat.
It's true.
And we have William on the line. William from Columbus, what's your question?
I'd like to know why they keep making sequels. I mean, like, Charlie's Angels was supposed to be coming out with another sequel. And Dukes of Hazzard, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Terminator, these guys are like old people and still making movies that we, you know, watched, but they made them and they were successful before, you know. I just like, we keep listening to The Who and AC/DC and Mick Jagger. And these guys are old and they're still making money.
All right.
What happened to the creativity with this generation, you know?
Yeah, it's true.
Thank you very much, William. So why so many remakes? Why so many sequels?
Because we keep going to them.
Yeah, I think
it's your fault. Every time you go to one of these sequels, people.
Yeah, there's an element of risk anytime you go to something that's original and new, like Super 8, which, you know, but it's really, Super 8 is the only truly, you know, for the big Hollywood films, that's the only one that's going to come out this summer, that isn't based on a comic book or a sequel to another film. And I think it is. It's because there's safety in sequels. People figure that, you know, if you saw The Hangover, you'll go see The Hangover 2.
Which was exactly like the first movie.
It was just a darker mirror image of the first movie. And there's going to be a third one. Uh-huh. I just saw today that it's confirmed there's going to be a Ghostbusters 3.
Oh, that's, because we need that.
That's bounced around for 15 years. But
yeah. But it's.
In watching Cars 2, I realized, you know, some of the characters from the first movie pop up at the end, and I realized I don't remember them.
I know, it's true.
They were so forgettable, but they're familiar.
Yeah, I think, I really think that's what it is. You know, if you're going to bankroll a movie, if you're going to spend, you know, $75 million making a movie, you feel like you're more likely to get a return on your investment if you go to something that people are already familiar with and are likely to go to.
Okay, so you're telling people, Brad declared, stop going to see the remakes.
Or just, you know, support a movie like Super 8.
Yeah.
Okay. And we mentioned briefly Transformers Dark of the Moon. It opens on June 29th, so we're getting the 4th of July weekend started early on the Wednesday. but it seemed to be the only huge movie. Normally, aren't there competing 4th of July weekend movies?
Well,
that was the big one.
You're going to have a second weekend of Cars, I think, with families.
Well, and also, isn't Larry Crown open?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't call Larry Crown a blockbuster, but I guess Crown has Tom Hanks and Julia Roberts.
It'll make a lot of money because several years ago, I'm surprised it's not Meryl Streep. Several years ago, I think they realized they chose a weekend where it was going to be a big, giant blockbuster that guys and kids would go to, and then they put out a movie the same weekend for middle-aged women. And it was Mamma Mia, and it made $1 billion. And then they did it the next summer with Julia and Julia. And I think that's what this is. They were like, you know, who's not going to go see the Transformers? Let's make a movie for them. And that's what they did.
People
and
are desperate
make a
for
ton
the
of
non-crazy action movie. Yes. Okay. So of the two, if you're going to – is Transformers and Larry Crown very different movies? Would you – what do you think Larry Crown's going to be like? Can you tell us what that's about?
Well, Tom Hanks is a likable guy. Right, he gets fired from his job and has to go to college, where he falls for his teacher, who's a disgruntled teacher, who's really quite hot for a part-time college instructor, and it's Julia Roberts. I don't have a lot of high expectations for that, but it's hard to say.
How much that movie panders to that audience you just
talked
about.
It's true. Oh, no, I agree.
I'm more looking
forward to it. But we haven't seen it yet. It screens on Tuesday, so, you know, we're talking out of school right now.
Okay, so stay tuned for reviews of Larry Crown. Do you get to see Transformers before it comes out?
Monday.
Okay.
And
so,
Do
you like the Transformers?
I enjoyed the first movie the first time I saw it. You know, it was fun. I played with those toys when I was a kid, and a lot of my friends kind of got geeked for a while. And then we watched it a second time on video and realized it's really kind of bad. You know, the dialogue's kind of awful, and it's got all those bad Michael Bay-isms. And then the sequel was atrocious.
Oh, the sequel was
horrible. It's 2.5 hours long.
So then let's make another one.
It's a movie about toys. It's not Lawrence of Arabia.
Oh, my.
It would have been fun if it was an hour and 10 minutes shorter. The buzz out of the studio, and, you know, take that with a grain of salt, is that the third Transformers is kind of the first movie to rival Avatar as far as 3D spectacle, which may be the only reason to see it.
Yeah.
All right. And then another movie, we want to look ahead a little bit more to July, of course. Harry Potter is coming. What do we think about the last installment?
I liked the most recent Harry Potter. I have not liked all of them. And I did like that one. It was a little darker. I've said this before. I mean, Harry Potter is a brilliant book series, but I like witches that kill people. but I did like the last one a lot. I thought it moved it faster. I thought the direction kept you from wallowing on weaknesses in the film, which is that those kids cannot act. And I'm excited to see the last one. And I just wanted to point something interesting out. I was at my son's graduation, and the valedictorian pointed out that the first Harry Potter book was published when the class of 2011 were kindergartners.
The
last movie will come out as like a month after they graduate from high school. And this is like such a – I mean, it's the biggest thing ever to the graduating class of 2011. All of them are so geeked to see this and sad at the same time. My son is more sad to see the last Harry Potter movie than he was to see his senior class leave.
Wow. Okay. Well, so another one that is a remake, or a sequel.
Yeah.
A sequel to a sequel to a sequel. And it will make a lot of money.
It's going to make a lot of money. It seems like a money-making venture, but I applaud their decision to split the last book into two pieces, you know, rather than trying to condense.
Yeah. No, I agree.
800 pages into... I actually, you know, was kind of middle of the road on the last one, if only because it felt like half a movie. You know, you're kind of right in the middle of the action. I haven't read the book series. I know that's blasphemy, but, you know, my friends say it literally ends just as it's about to get awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, honestly, Empire Strikes Back felt like half a movie. It ended in the middle of a movie, and it's one of the best, you know, sci-fi action movies ever. So, I'm not sure that I agree with you. I thought it ended pretty well.
Well, it ended like I can't wait 6 months to see how this ends,
sure.
Which is kind of perfect. But.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we are down to about a minute remaining. So why don't each of you pick a movie that is still to come this summer that you just can't wait to see, besides Harry Potter, I guess. Hope, is there?
Yeah, it's not really summer, is it? The movie that I'm most looking forward to now that Super 8 and Hobo with a Shotgun are behind me is The Muppets, which... I saw a first trailer for it. It doesn't look that great, and I still can't help but being super excited to see another Muppet movie. I love the Muppets.
Yay.
So, but that's not really actually not until November, so I might have to go with Fright Night.
Fright Night. Okay. And Brad?
I've got high hopes for Horrible Bosses.
Really?
You know, I really have my fingers crossed for another great comedy. I thought Bridesmaids was great. It looks like it could go either way, but that cast, you know, how they got Kevin Spacey and Jennifer Aniston...
Colin Farrell.
Along with some really funny people.
Yes, very funny.
Charlie Day of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
And, of course, Jason Bateman.
Yes.
When does that come out, Horrible Bosses?
We're about two weeks out from that. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's about all the time we have for this segment. Thank you very much to Columbus Live film critic Brad Keefe. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Amy.
And thank you to the other paper film critic, Hope Madden.
Thanks for having me.
And when we return, we'll hear about the longest-running classic film series in America, the Kappa Summer Movie Series. This is 89.7 NPR News.
For 20 years, FBI agent Bob Whitman chased art thieves and recovered stolen treasure. He met criminals in hotel rooms with a suitcase of cash, hoping the SWAT team next door could get there in time if his cover was blown. On the next Fresh Air, Whitman talks about his memoir, Priceless, and we hear from actor Javier Bardem. Join us.
That's Today at Noon here on 89.7 NPR News. And good morning, it's 11:41.
We're going to have a chance of showers for today with mostly cloudy skies, high today of 74. For tonight, a slight chance of showers before midnight with a low of 59. Right now, 67 degrees under cloudy skies. As an 89.7 NPR News listener, nobody knows more about what we do than you. We'd love to hear what you think. Visit WOSU.org and take our brief survey. And thank you in advance for your time and for your support of 89.7 NPR News.
Support for 89.7 comes from the Columbus Foundation, celebrating our nationally ranked businesses and nonprofit leaders, making our community stronger. With donors and funds in 33 Ohio counties, the Columbus Foundation, where your philanthropy and your community come together.
Welcome back to All Sides Weekend. I'm Amy Jurevich. The Kappa Summer Movie Series marks its 41st year and has a great list of offerings for movie buffs of all shapes and sizes. There are a few classics, a silent film, some cartoons, and a couple cult favorites. To tell us what's new with the series this year, we have Kappa's Director of Programming, Richard Corsi. He's in the studio. Welcome, Rich.
Oh, thank you very much.
And just in case someone who's listening, they've never been down to the Ohio Theater for the Kappa Summer Movie Series, can you tell us a little what it's about, a little bit about?
Yeah, we're in our 41st year of the summer movies. They'll be running this year from June 17th all the way through August 13th at the Ohio Theater downtown. Seats are general admission. We get anywhere from 500 to 2,000 people per movie, depending on the popularity of the movie. And it's just a great, cheap, fun night out.
Great. So 41st year. So obviously it's been doing well. Can you tell us about how you pick the movies? There's a wide variety. So is that what you try to do, pick something for everyone?
Yeah, there's myself, and we have a volunteer named Lance Carwile that helps with the selection of the movies. We take a lot of input from the public on films that they want to see. And we started getting so much feedback from the public, we actually did a fan favorite film this year.
Yes. And is the fan favorite film this weekend? Am I correct?
Yes, it is.
Okay. So let's hear a little bit about that. The fan favorite this year is To Kill a Mockingbird, the featured film for this weekend. Let's listen to a famous scene. It's Atticus Finch, played by Gregory Peck, of course, delivering his closing argument to the jury at the end of the trial.
I am confident that you gentlemen will review without passion the evidence that you have heard, come to a decision, and restore this man to his family. In the name of God, do your duty. In the name of God, believe Tom Robinson.
This film is such a classic, such a great film. How does the fan favorite work? The fans just, they wanted to see this on the big screen.
Yeah, we actually did a contest, and we had folks just send in the different movies that they wanted to see. We picked the top five vote getters, put it back out to the public, and had them vote on those top five, and To Kill a Mockingbird came up, which is great because it's perfect for a season like this.
So when can people see To Kill a Mockingbird?
They can see it Saturday night, this Saturday at 7:30, and this Sunday at 2 p.m. and 7:30.
What kind of reaction do you expect to get, you know, having such a dramatic film like this on screen? Do you just expect maybe some parents to bring their kids who've never seen this movie and that kind of thing?
Yeah, we run the gamut on ages with the movie series. You'll see anything from, you know, three-year-olds to 90-year-old grandparents coming in, depending on what the film is. So it's a lot of fun.
I also wanted to ask you about, you always show a silent film every year, right?
Yeah, this year we'll be showing the silent film Buster Keaton, Steamboat Bill Jr., which is an actual premiere for the movie series that will have accompaniment by Clark Wilson, who is actually celebrating his 20th year at Kappa as the organist.
So they're watching, just for people who maybe haven't seen a silent movie on the big screen, because you don't really even get to see silent movies on TV, even like the old movie channels don't show them. So you're going to be watching the silent movie on the big screen, but then you'll have, to accompany it, you'll have live music.
Yeah, you'll see Clark rise from the bottom of the stage there and come up with a spotlight on him, and he'll be featured throughout the whole silent movie. If you've never seen it, it is such an experience. You should definitely get out and check it out this year.
And what date is that?
The silent film will be on Thursday, July 14th, and Friday, July 15th.
And seeing a movie at the Kappa Summer Movie Series, going to the Ohio Theater, I went to a couple last year, and it's an experience in and of itself, because you're in this, the beautiful theater, and you're watching a movie, and there's organ music beforehand. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, I mean, we'd like to pride ourselves on the actual movies being more than a movie and more like almost a performance. You're greeted at the doors by our ushers. And then seated, we have the organist that will play 30 minutes prior to the movie. The organist also plays at intermission and after the movie. So once you get into the theater and realize where you're at, it just makes for a great experience watching a movie.
What's different about seeing, you know, maybe a movie like To Kill a Mockingbird? A lot of people have probably never seen it on the big screen, but they've seen it on TV. What makes it worthwhile to see it big?
You know, I mean, a lot of these movies, you have to remember back in the day when they would do a lot of the premieres of the movies at theaters like the Ohio Theater, it was such a gathering. I mean, you would have literally 2,500 people at a movie premiere with the red carpet out front. And, you know, it's just an amazing spectacle to have that many people come to a film. And the couple films that we've had that have done over 2,000 people, it's just amazing. You think it's like a Broadway show in there and everybody's there to see a movie. So just you know, soaking it all in and being around so many people watching the same film on a big screen and a nice air-conditioned venue, it's just a great experience.
Yeah, I was there last year. I think I saw an Indiana Jones movie, I think, last year, if I'm right. Okay. I can't remember yesterday. But whenever I was there seeing it, I'd only ever seen Indiana Jones on TV. And whenever I saw it, having the audience all laughing and, like, gasping, and it was really a great time.
Yeah, we had a really good time. We did Dirty Dancing a couple years ago, and it was amazing. So many people reciting the lines right when they were coming up, and people just getting up and dancing in the aisles. It was just a big party. It was awesome.
You can make some new friends with your favorite movie that you've only ever watched by yourself, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, when you're around 1,500 people, it's just a big party. It's great.
Great. This is All Sides Weekend, and we're talking about the Kappa Summer Movie Series in its 41st year with Kappa's Director of Programming, Rich Corsi. 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. If you have a question about the series, give us a call. We have about 10 more minutes, 614-292-8513. And I wanted to ask you about the idea of being the longest running film series in America, longest running classic film series in America, right?
Correct.
What a distinction to have. How do you keep it going?
Yeah, I mean, this started 41 years ago, and I believe on the actual first movie series, they were trying to fill the calendar, and they threw in four movies. People seem to really, really enjoy them. And over the years, it's just progressed and just kept going. And the want is there. So we produce a series and put it out every year. And it's very, very well attended. This year, I think we have about 23, 25 different titles. So it's just amazing. I mean, folks keep coming and coming. It's an opportunity for a lot of folks also to get in and to see the theater and see, at least see a movie for such an inexpensive price, rather than having to spend $70 for a Broadway show. You can actually get into the theater for $4 to see a movie. So
$4, you can't beat it. Half the price of the other movies,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then the weekend of July 16th, you're showing a family favorite film. It's The Sound of Music. Let's listen to a scene from The Sound of Music.
Girls in white dresses with blue satin sashes, snowflakes that stay on my nose and eyelashes, silver white winters that melt into springs. These are a few of my favorite things. When the dog by...
Fräulein, did I not tell you that bedtime is strictly to be observed in this house?
Yeah, well, you did, sir.
And do you or do you not have difficulty remembering such simple instructions?
Only during thunderstorms, sir.
So that is a classic scene from The Sound of Music. I had trouble picking a clip because it's just all of the clips are great. All the songs are great and well known. That's a movie that a lot of people, like I mentioned before, have probably only seen on television, but then they get to see it on the big screen. Do you expect The Sound of Music to be popular?
Yeah, that'll be one of our bigger movies of the series. Sound of Music is a very good example of families coming to the actual venue to see the movie. You know, you'll see 5-year-olds with their parents along with their grandparents. And it's always amazing because a lot of the grandparents and parents have been to the theater. But when they have their kids with them, once the organ comes up out of the ground, the kids are just mesmerized. And, you know, it's just a great experience. And to see three generations of folks coming in to see the same movie, it's just a great sight to see.
614-292-8513. We have Sonia on the line. She's driving through Columbus. What's your question?
Hi, I just picked up the show, and I was just wondering if you're going to show more ethnic-related films, such as maybe Stormy Weather or Raisin in the Sun, Cabin in the Sky, things like that.
Okay, well, let's find out. Any films along those lines?
Yeah, it's something we can certainly look into. Like I mentioned earlier, a lot of what we do with our Kappa Summer Movie Series is we take a lot of input from the public. If you have a chance to email us or just give us a quick call if you have any suggestions, we pride ourselves on putting films out that folks are requesting. So just simply send us an email. They all come directly to me, and I help out with the selection process.
All right, Sonia. So maybe you can get your film in the lineup for next year. And then we also have Mitzi on the line. Mitzi calling from Columbus. What's your question or comment?
Actually, I called up to ask a simple question, but I would like to comment. I think the question was answered for me. How much is it these days? And then while I was waiting online to be able to speak, I heard the recording saying it's $4. Is that correct?
Okay. So Mitzi was asking, it's $4, right?
Yeah, the general admission price is $4. We have a senior discount of $3.50. We also have a discounted strip of tickets, and those strips consist of 10 tickets, and they only cost $25, so that's only $2.50 per ticket. And you can use those strip tickets any way you would like.
Okay, and how can people get tickets?
They can either call us over the phone at 614-469-0939, or they can just go online and order them.
Okay. And give your website real quick.
It's www.kappa.com.
And we'll have a link to that at wosu.org/allsides. We also have Eddie on the line from Grove City. Eddie, what's your question?
Well, I was wondering what kind of things I might expect to make the experience different. Is it casual dress? Is there an intermission? Are there refreshments? What's different about going to see a movie there?
All right. Thanks, Eddie.
Yeah, we actually, it's very casual. It's just like going to any other movie. We do have concessions. We've got popcorn. We've got alcohol. We've got, you know, water, and all that is allowed into the actual venue. We do have an intermission. As I mentioned, we put the intermission right in the middle of the film. The organist will come out. Usually intermissions are about 15 minutes long, and then the movie kicks back in. And then once the movie's over, the organist will finish out the night playing as you exit the venue. So it's a fun experience.
And at the intermission, just having the organ music, it just makes it really fun. Everyone's talking about the movie and talking about what they just saw, what's coming up next. Because, I mean, a lot of the movies people maybe have seen before, so they know what's coming next. But, yeah, so having Clark Wilson on the organ, that's a great benefit. It really makes it unique.
Yeah, you'd be amazed at how many folks. I mean, we open the doors 1 hour prior to the actual movie, and you would be amazed how many folks are out there waiting for us to open the door so they can get down, so they can be in a position to watch Clark play the organ.
And we also have Julie on the line. She's calling from Upper Arlington. Julie, what's your comment?
Well, my grandparents used to take me down to see the movies when I was 8 or 9 or 10 years old. I got to see State Fair and South Pacific and The Star is Born. A lot of movies I never would have been exposed to, and it's a great experience.
Okay, and you said you went with your grandparents to see him?
Yeah.
So what's it like being able to see movies, seeing older movies with your grandparents?
It was a lot of fun. I mean, like I said, saw a lot of things. Saw Star is Born with when it was remastered, South Pacific was very good. I mean, seeing old movies like that on a big screen is amazing.
All right.
It really is.
Thank you very much. What sort of old classic films? We talked about To Kill a Mockingbird, but you have a few others.
Yeah, we've got a lot of really great films this year. Just to name a couple titles, we've got Bringing Up Baby. We're doing Gone with the Wind. Later in the season, we'll be doing Grapes of Wrath. We've got The Adventures of Robin Hood from 1938. Mm. So it's always amazing after 41 years and seeing some of these movies that we're, you know, we're probably showing 5 or 6 movies this year from the 30s, which is amazing because that was a very, very long time ago.
That's great. And you also have Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf playing too. Yeah. You also have something a little different. A couple of times this summer, including tomorrow, you offer Cartoon Capers, which is a collection of the best of Warner Brothers and MGM cartoons. It includes Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck. Let's listen to this classic scene.
It's rabbit season! Duck season! Rabbit season! Duck season! Rabbit season! Duck season! Rabbit season! Rabbit season! Duck season! Rabbit season! I say it's duck season, and I say fire! You're despicable.
Now, I had a lot of fun picking out a clip for this. I had not seen a Bugs Bunny cartoon in years. I hadn't even thought about Bugs Bunny in a while. It must be great fun having this, the Cartoon Capers. Tell me about it.
The Cartoon Capers probably about 3 years ago, had no idea what to expect, and we're basically just showing, 8 to 10 minute cartoons, put it out there, and I think we were averaging about 1,500 to 1,800 people per showing, which is amazing. And some of these cartoons are just classics. And once you get in there in a theater setting, and it's just a ton of kids. It's a ton of parents bringing their kids and saying, these are what cartoons used to be. And it's just awesome.
So you'll get to see Tom and Jerry, Popeye, Daffy Duck and Bugs Bunny, of course. And when is it? It's tomorrow morning?
Yeah, it's tomorrow morning, June 25th at 10 a.m., and then we have one later in the year, Saturday, July 23rd at 10 a.m. also.
Did you put this together? Or did someone else put together a bunch of cartoons?
We have folks that we work with who know what we've done, so we try not to repeat any of the cartoons. And like I said, we're in our third season of it, and they basically put it all together for us, and we present it.
Now, do you recommend, like, in the way they do at regular movie theaters where certain, like, young kids shouldn't go see certain movies, do you do the ratings?
Yeah, we've got the ratings listed on all the movies. And if you ever have any questions, feel free to call us. Our staff is very aware of all the movies, and they can probably answer any questions you would like. And also, one thing of note this year is the films that we're going to be showing, with the exception of High Noon and the Cartoon Capers, we've got them all on 35mm this year, so we got pretty lucky in ordering the film. So,
okay, and we're down to the last minute, so you get to pick one more movie that you – there's a whole list that I wanted to talk about, but we ran out of time. One more that you wanted to just say this is a definite must-see.
I would have to say Hitchcock's Frenzy. We've shown so much Hitchcock over the years, actually found this one and didn't realize that we hadn't shown it yet, so we're amazed that we have a Hitchcock premiere this year, and that'll be – coming up on June 22nd and 23rd.
Great. And you've been listening to All Sides Weekend. I want to say thank you to Kappa's Director of Programming, Rich Corsi. Thank you so much for being here today.
Oh, thank you very much.
And this has been All Sides Weekend. And we also want to say thank you to Debbie Holmes at the controls today. This is WOSU 89.7, WOSU HD1, and WOSU 820 Columbus. And streaming online at WOSU.org, 89.7 NPR News, a service of WOSU Public Media.
Support for 89.7 comes from the OSU Alumni Association, presenting Women and Wheels on June 28th at the Longaberger Alumni House. Green tips from fuel efficiency to vehicle maintenance. More information is online at ohiostatealumni.org.